Now, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show for this Friday. I don't know if it's an age thing, but the weeks just seem to be going incredibly, incredibly quickly. Thanks again to Peter Casey, Councillor Jimmy Brogan and Paddy Rooney for their comments over the last hour. Thanks to all of you for messaging and texting in. We really do appreciate it. And what we're going to try and do going forward is I have a habit of holding off some of the comments until this time of the programme after 10. So what we're going to try and do is going forward is, you know, read those comments as they come in, as time permits, and maybe even bring in voices, your voice into that hour as well. I just want it to be a little bit more interactive, we do, than it actually is at the moment. So as I say, I do often read the messages, but I want it to become more of an integral part of that hour. And as I say, if someone has a strong opinion that they want a voice as well, to bring them in on that. Just something we clarified since I referenced it, and the 124th Battalion, the Infantry Battalion, is based out of Finner Camp, and they are actually scheduled to go over to South Lebanon in early November. 130 odd soldiers. It's 124 for definite, but it could be more. Now, maybe you're a relation of one of those soldiers. I know they can't speak out, or maybe you want to have your say on it. Should they go out? Do they want to go out? A lot could change between now and early November, but as it stands, we'd be sending 130 Donegal-based soldiers into southern Lebanon. Is that something we need to rethink at the moment, given the state of the war that is raging in that part of the world, and given the role that they can actually perform when they're there? Is there any point in sending people from their relatively, or from their safe confines of Finner over to a bunker or similar, you know what I'm saying, in South Lebanon? I don't think that would be prudent. That wouldn't be shrewd, was it? Would it? It feels to me like it would not be a good decision to make. Now, we have a mandate to fulfill, and I'm not sure if the Irish can decide that, or if it's a UN decision, or whatever it might be. But this tradition of staying there nonetheless, sticking it out, it doesn't feel right with what's going on there, given the fact that we've got peacekeepers already injured, given the fact that we know that the IDF and maybe Hezbollah might into the future don't mind parking their tanks and what have you around the posts where these soldiers are based. So what do you think? And maybe you are a family member, a wife, or what have you. I know the soldiers can't speak, but if you're associated with the 124th Infantry Battalion based out of Finner, due to go to South Lebanon in early November, what's your feelings about that? Do you want them to go? Should they go? Shouldn't they go? And so on and so forth. I'd be interested in your views on that. That's just information we learnt this morning, and just wanted to bring it to you as we got it. I read half of this message just before 10, and I want to read it in its entirety because someone took the time to send it in. Greg, France were playing Israel last night in the Nations League. I wonder if we were in the same group as Israel, would we have played them? I don't know if there was any protests in France, and I think Italy is in that group too. Russia were banned as soon as they attacked Ukraine, but Israel seems to get a free run with no sanctions at all. And what they are doing is equally as bad, if not worse, they believe, this listener, as what Russia is doing. I'd like to think that we would have taken a stand and boycotted the Israeli games, but the matter hasn't arisen yet for us. But it could very well happen in the World Cup qualifiers. The big question is, though, why Israel haven't been banned from sporting fixtures. Listen, Israel, on the world scale that we live in, the Western world, so to speak, are treated very different to Russia. They are given effectively carte blanche to do what they wish to do. The Americans and others supply them their weapons, and those weapons have flown over our neutral airspace, and that's still happening. Why that hasn't block hasn't been put on that, I don't know. I'm not involving myself in the conflict over there, but we're neutral, and our airspace is neutral, and we should not, I don't believe, be facilitating weapons and bombs that have been signed, which I think is sick, to be dropped onto people. I don't think we should be facilitating that. A caller says, if our brave Irish soldiers are bunkered down over in Lebanon, then they couldn't, why couldn't they simply come home and do that here? That sounds like it's unfair to our Irish soldiers. They're over there as peacekeepers, to offer security to regular people that live there, not Hezbollah, not Israel. I think they've played something of an important role, but times have changed. What do you all think? Let me know, please. Get involved in the conversation. Greg, tourist office in Donegal town is open all year round, Monday to Saturday. However, if you ring their phone number, you are directed to a central number in Dublin. This number takes your inquiry and passes it on to the Donegal office, but does not transfer you. They said the Donegal office is walk-in only and does not take any phone calls, a very peculiar way to promote tourism, be it in season or out of season. But in fairness, the office is open. Thanks very much for that, Joe, for sending that in. And Joe commenting to us there off the back of a conversation we had with a listener yesterday who had people coming over to visit and decided he'd call into the tourist office in the heart of the biggest town in Ireland, Letterkenny, to pick up some brochures and get some ideas of what they could do with their time here. And there was a sign on the door which stated that they were closed until June 2025, which begs the question, why is there a tourist office open in Donegal Town all year round, which is great, but not in Letterkenny, which is, you know, maybe it's not on the tourist trail, but if I was a local rep, I'd be saying, listen, this needs to be open all year round. And also, John then, I believe it was John, he went to a local hotel. He went somewhere else as well. He eventually got some leaflets in the library, I think it was. And a lot of the tourists want that. They want to speak to someone. I'd like to go into the tourist office in Letterkenny and say, listen, I'm just in Donegal here. I've got 2 or 3 days. You know, where can I go? Where is open? And they might say, well, you have to go to on Greeny na Bhaile. I mean, that's just a must visit. And of course, stick your head in Malin Head and you can come down the west coast there, maybe call into Downing's and have some fish there and then head down to Burton Port, take a ferry over to Arranmore. It's lovely there at this time of year. And come back then and head into Sleeve League and maybe then whip around into Donegal Town. That's what a tourist office would do. That's what I'd like to hear if I was a tourist here. But you won't be able to get that kind of information off someone in person in Letterkenny, a big town that it is. Some would say it's heading towards city status. You can't get that until June of 2025. I don't understand. I really don't, but I'm open to be educated as always. Now, I want to let you know of an event that's upcoming. It is a night to Sinead Dugan, it's Sinead Dugan is running this, but she's raising money for Dunloe GEA Scolmora Bell Critch campaign. And it is a fun evening of singing with the Ross's Ukulele Group. And there are special guests, wait till you hear this, none other than Daniel O'Donnell. And then, of course, the Three Marys. And it is taking place in Sweeney's Hotel, Main Street, Dunloe, Friday, the 11th of October. That's tonight, isn't it? It's at 9 p.m. and entry is just a tenner. And as I say, all proceeds are going through Sinead Dugan for the Dunloe GEA Scolmora Bell Critch campaign. Now, another event I want to mention, it is in aid of the Donegal Down Syndrome Association, and it's a lovely wee afternoon in the Carrigart Parochial Hall this coming Sunday. It runs from 12 noon to 2 p.m. We're looking forward to calling in and seeing what's what, get a cup of coffee or what have you. Donations are welcome at the door. Tickets will be on sale for a raffle. So it's cars and coffee. So I'm not sure. Hopefully there's nice cars there to look at. I'll look at any car. It doesn't really bother me. I'm there for the coffee. All right, so that's this Sunday between 12 noon and 2 p.m. It's cars and coffee in the Carrigart Parochial Hall, and it's in aid of the Donegal Down Syndrome Association. So if you're in and around that area, call in and say hello. And if you're in Dunloe or around the area this evening, go in and support the Dunloe GEA Scolmora Bell Critch campaign, Daniel O'Donnell, the Three Marys, and the Ross's Ukulele Group. Lots of fun to be had. Read the SPHE controversy. As a parent, I'm fighting this campaign on sexualising our children for the last 2 years. It's a serious concern to me and others. Please don't disrespect our concerns by saying I'm not biased. You are clearly in favour of the Department of Education teaching when you are now. What am I interested in? I'm interested in the protection of our children. I think they have to have some knowledge of sexuality, what's appropriate and inappropriate in relation to interaction with others. I think it's incredibly important that fellas from whatever age is appropriate, and I'm not an expert in this regard, understand how what consent is and what consent isn't, because it's their interests as well as the girls' interests or the boys' interests or whatever the situation may be. I know what's being taught in school through the SPHE because I downloaded the documentation and the guidelines, and I went through them because I thought, you know, how can I comment on it, or how could I send my children at the time into school and not know what they're being taught in this area, which I feel is very important. So I've actually done that. So I don't need to be educated by a YouTube video. Do you get me? And I think more of us should do that. Or at least maybe come up with some system where schools tell us precisely what's going on in our school that our children are going to, rather than us all sort of having a debate on what one person said and then a distrust of the Department of Education. And I don't see how that benefits our children, because that's the only thing I'm really interested in. Hi, Greg. Listening to your show and heard the piece about house repairs, I'm in the same position with Donegal County Council. They will not answer the phone 5 years asking for repairs. If they were private landlords, they'd be in court. Nothing to do with MICA. It's a different budget. Yeah, it wasn't the budget, it was the personnel, but I take your point. Thank you for that. Question, Greg. With the new enhanced scheme, some people will get $460,000 to rebuild. I know several people who've been approved. However, these houses won't be worth more than $300,000 if sold. Are builders price gouging? Asks a listener. Another, does the increase to €462,000 cap apply if you've received your demolition notification? We received our notification December last year. We haven't started the process yet. Now, I heard on the news yesterday, Minister Charlie McConnell Lowe gave a commitment that those increases would be retrospective. How far that goes back, what is retrospective, we'll have to find that out. Hopefully it covers you. We've noticed a lot of snails around our house this year. Does anyone else have this problem? Ooh, snails in the house. What could cause that? I noticed a few slugs, which are like snails without a house. I'm not sure if they perform the same way. But anyway, have you noticed a lot of snails around the house? What could be causing it? It's normally to do with the weather, isn't it? But someone out there is bound to know. A big thank you, says a listener, to the council who are working on a key junction in Churchill. Great to see this work being done. That comes in from Betty and a lot of the community. Right, loads to come on the show, including between 11 and 12. That's entertainment, where we'll just chill out at the end of a long week and talk about whatever you want to talk about as well, by the way. It's an open forum, and it's great to see more of you getting involved in the conversation. Listen, we all watch a bit of telly, don't we? We all like to do things to entertain ourselves. I want you to help form what that is, okay? So it could be Netflix, or it could be a walk, or it could be a social evening that you take part in. Whatever entertains and relieves you from the everyday slog. The silver lining. It could be the silver lining in the cloud. What is your silver lining in your cloud? Get those into us and all your views and comments to 086 60 25000.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Now, Carmel Lynch and Jackie O'Neill, they're co-chairs of the Fawn Health Centre campaign. They both join us on the programme. Now, morning, ladies. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, okay, both of you have been very active, very vocal in trying to save the Fawn Health Centre. Talk to us, Carmel, where we are in this campaign.
Well, Greg, we finally got confirmation yesterday that the health centre will be opened on a Monday morning between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. and on a Thursday evening between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m.
This is a victory for your campaign.
Well, to me, Greg, it is, because at the end of the day, as me and you spoke back a few months ago, the centre was closed. Mm. No matter what the HSC said, the centre was closed. So finally, after a few meetings with Maura Gellin and our team, that I have to thank her for her support in this, because, you know, we got round a table, we all spoke, we all put our views across, and we got the outcome we wanted. We got the Fawn Centre opened again to the people of who needs it. And on a Monday morning and on a Thursday afternoon.
Fair play to you. It's a funny story, because you drive past the Fawn Health Centre and it doesn't seem like much, you know what I mean? It's a very modest building, Jackie, but it's so important, and the service it provides is so important. What difference will these 2 days, Monday and Thursday, in opening for 2 hours, make to the people in the community, Jackie?
Yeah, well, I think what it will do, first of all, it will give the people of the community that bit of confidence back that they lost whenever the centre was closed, because they were left at the possible worst time of their lives for the nurse to be taken away from them. It's difficult, the difficulty in getting appointments with the doctors, That is a big, big factor that we have. And I think that for people who can go out to the nurse, knowing the days that she is there for advice, for direction, for treatment, for supplies, that will make a huge difference. Now, I know we have got a Monday and a Thursday at the minute. Again, Maura Gillen, who is the general manager of the primary care, we will work with her in maybe adding more days as the demand is needed. The other thing about it, Maura also suggested that there will be other clinics in the centre as well. So there's other medical needs of the community, and they can be taken care of. So that's something that is very positive going forward for the centre. Looking at the centre right now, it has some work done, but it still needs some more to bring it back into line with. It just needs to be painted. I think there's a delay on that with the HSE at the minute. There's a spend cap on with doing up buildings. So we're looking forward to that coming into the new year at some point. So that will be fixed up a bit for us all. It's just very positive that we have got the centre open again. And I think that the people of the community, they were delighted in hearing this. It's a step in the right direction. And we just hope down the line that we can build on this. And I hope that the people do understand the need and that they need to use this facility now that it's up and going again. It would be good, because if they don't use it, next time around may not be just as easy to get the service back.
That's a really important point, Jackie, in that there's the amount of people that nurses work with and all that kind of stuff that's factored in, and the HSE of key performance indicators and all that type. Like, we don't want people to get sick unnecessarily, but if you are in that area and you do need some support, avail of this service.
Absolutely avail of the service, because it is going to be monitored, and it is important that the people realise that it is going to be monitored. And sitting at home saying to yourself, oh, I know the nurses out there, but not going to avail of that service, well, if they don't, that service will be taken away. And that is something that people need to realise, because we fought long and hard from the beginning of July to get this centre opened again. And as Carmel clearly pointed out, the centre was closed. There was no one there. And some of that was quite frustrating, wasn't it?
Because I remember some of the times we were covering this, and we were being told that, you know, it was almost gaslighting. Yeah. We were being told what we know to be the case, not to be the case. Supply is not in there, all that kind of stuff. It was very, very unfrustrating.
It was very frustrating, absolutely, because, you know, as a community, we represent the community, and people were coming after us saying to us, the centre is closed. We could see it every day we pass it. The centre was very much closed. There was no one about it at all. It was derelict. It was nothing. Nothing was happening. People who would ring the Fawn Health Centre were taken care of from Muff. Muff West is a huge area to cover. They have an absolute huge area. We were able to obtain some information from Parliamentary Affairs in Dublin through Patrick McLaughlin, was able to get it for us. And as far as I am aware, Muff West has got 54 townlands to cover, which is quite huge. Going forward into the winter, which we have the winter bugs, all sorts of bugs, you know, and it will be great for the people to know that the nurse is going to be there 2 days a week without having to phone and wait for a callback and then wait for a visit.
But that person also has to have the workload to meet certain rules within the HSE. I tried to allude to that during this conversation, because I suspect that's what was going on in the background with the HSC. So just to ensure that this is secure for the future and can be built on, people need to engage with the nurse, because it's a fantastic facility to have.
And
I'll tell you also what this is a fantastic demonstration of is people power, the public taking control of an issue, because there was very well attended public meetings, and I want to speak on behalf of the public, if I don't mind, in that this was all spearheaded by you, Jackie Molloy, and you, Carmel Lynch, and I think the community, the wider community, was incredibly lucky to happen upon two people in the community that wouldn't give up, and you didn't give up, and you annoyed the living daylights out of everyone that you could to get this result. Yeah. Carmel, just a word on that. Or Jackie, it's up to you, whichever. Jackie, I think you're keen to answer on that. It's just important that people take the power into their own hands.
Yeah. I think Carmel and I have both lived through this, knowing the nurse was out there. We have both availed of the nurses in many, many occasions. Many occasions whenever I had elderly parents. It was so good. It was a lifeline for me and for Carmel. Carmel, again, it was a lifeline for her as well in times of need. And that is something that I know from today, from the day that Maura agreed to put someone back into centre. That was almost a sigh of relief for us because we may not need it today, but there is families who will need it on an ongoing basis, hopefully not too soon, but it will come to the door. They will need that assistance and they will need that help. And again, I'm not wishing anybody any ill health,
but I do believe
that the people who will need this, if we have to keep this service there, we really do have to keep it there. It is so vitally important. We've got Inch Island, we've got Fawn, we've got Burnfoot, we've got a huge area, and we've got an aging population, and we really, really need this service. And you know what? We didn't really miss it till it was gone. Mm-hmm. And then we realised how important that service was to us and to everyone else. I'll let Carmel give her a bit on it, but that was from my point.
You don't need Carmel, me, Jackie. You don't need me, Jackie. Carmel, Jackie's interviewing you now. I'll sod off. I'll head across the road for a jam bomb. All right, ladies, just carry on. I'll be back in 10. No, Carmel, go ahead.
Can you imagine the meetings we had around the table with HSC?
Would you stop?
But you know what? It was like the good person, the bad person, but we both pulled each other together at times of need. And when the people came to us in need, and we done what we did. We said what we do, we done. We opened the centre. We wanted open. And you know what? I said to you at the very, very start, we have elected councillors in the past and we want them to do our work. A few people have let me down. A few people we contacted has totally let us down as a community because we had Joy Beard, who done her best. We have Fionn Bradley. Thank you, Fionn, for all your help. We have Barry McLaughlin. We had Jack Murray. We had Paul Cannon. We also met with Charlie McCann Logue, where I felt personally it was a waste of time because he wasn't interested in us being there. We have no feedback from him. And then we go then to Paul McLaughlin and we go to Jack Murray. Without those two people in my corner, we got the outcome we got. Their support, their help, their guidance was amazing. Now we have a local election coming up. Don't get me into any more trouble. No, I won't. I won't. But you know what, Greg? The truth must be known because we have a local election coming up and we, the people of Donegal, need to give Padraig McLaughlin a number one to get to the Dáil to fight for our healthcare, our schools, our carers, especially now. I knew you had a few weeks ago on your radio, they say there's no care in Donegal. We need that back. We need to make a crisis sorted. So we need the people of Donegal who supported us, but they need to give Padraig McLaughlin and support Padraig McLaughlin and give him a seat back in the Dáil as number one, because without him, we are snookered in Donegal.
Right, okay, well...
And I know I'm probably overstepping my mark, Greg, with you, and I'm really sorry.
It's your point of view.
I feel so strongly. And to Maura Gillen and her team from the HSC, we thank them for their help and support through this as well.
Stay there for a quick second, because the Cahirlock of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Jack Murray, was already lined up before... you said all of that. It's going to be music to his ears. But anyway, you were part of the team fighting for this and all the other names mentioned, across parties as well, it has to be said, for the most part, with just one or two left out. Councillor Murray, this is, you know, I mean, I know you politicians can back the public and all that kind of stuff, and you can take some credit for this, but what about Carmel and Jackie and the rest of the community fighting for their service?
Absolutely. Look, and you made the point yourself, Greg. This is an example of people power. See the two women that are on there? They're a force of nature when they came together, and there was absolutely no doubt that there was going to be success delivered on that. See, when they pulled together that meeting, well over 100 people packed into Samira's Hall, you just knew there was an energy. People had risen up, and they weren't going to take no for an answer. And look, the two women, Jackie and Carmel, had a like a dog with bone beneath their teeth. They weren't going to let this go. And going back as far as March, I have to say this. Like I've been on your show a number of times, and I've criticised the HSE when was necessary, and I've given out. But I think in this instance, I think full credit to Maura Gillan and her team who listened to the will of the people, met with all of us around the table, heard the concerns. There was a bit of negotiation, there was a bit of over and back, but they listened to it, and we've got the result we want. And look, Jackie said there a number of times, we will monitor it. We will be meeting again in November. See how things go. But look, it's a good news story. So thanks to the HSE, but look, thanks to the community and Fawn for raising up, and to Jackie and Carmel for being the vanguard on that. It's a great example of what can be achieved when people rally together.
All right, Councillor Jack Murray, thank you. And it'd be great if the HSE get lines of communications open between now and whatever review there is to we best ensure that this service is being used to its maximum potential, because we don't want to be in a use it or lose it situation. Carmel Lynch, Jackie O'Neill, listen, fair play to you.
I just also like to thank Betty Holmes. Betty Holmes turned up to support us as well. As you know, Betty Holmes is a very active member of in relation to healthcare and the breast, all the breasts. So I would like to thank Betty Holmes as well for her help and support as well. And you know what? When you get people around the table who are strong people, and it works. And we definitely had a strong team around our table the day we got the final meeting. Now, we have a follow-up, as Jack said, in November, December. But once we get back, but the people need to use the centre. If they don't use the centre, then there's no point coming to me in 3 months' time or 4 months' time or going to Jackie and say, listen, the centre's closed. We've done our bit now, so we have to keep it open. So please use the service.
Yeah. Jackie, for those who aren't using it but maybe need to avail of it, what can you give us some suggestions as... I know you aren't HSE or health professionals, but you know what kind of services are out of there 2 days a week, Monday and Thursday, that people could be availing of?
Yeah, well that is a good point there, Greg, because what we asked the HSE, we asked them, was this open to not just Muff West clients, but was it open to everybody in the surrounding areas? You don't necessarily have to be from Fawn or Inch to use the health centre in Fawn. You can be, it's open to anywhere in Inishowen. Anyone can come to that centre. The other thing is that there is going to be, I think at the minute they're running some childcare clinics in there, some child health clinics. There has been other clinics that have been mentioned that we will be taking up with Maura Gillan in the near future, just to see if we can get those clinics in place. Because again, that would be a big asset to the community to have, that they don't have to travel so far, and perhaps they can bring in services for a day, maybe once a month or every couple of weeks, something like that. There is clinics, there's someone talks about diabetic clinics. I mean, Carmel and myself have steady people coming at us saying, can you get this clinic in? Can you get that clinic in? We are trying to get those services installed in the Fawn Health Centre. And it would be wonderful. I mean, there's, like I say, there's diabetics, there's incontinence clinics, which seems to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. There was incontinence clinics there, but I think they were stopped when the centre was closed. So things like that. Very important stuff. Very, very important stuff. Okay. So again, if you have a problem, you can call it. You don't have to make an appointment. You can call in the nurse from 9 to 10 on a Monday, from 4 to 5 on a Thursday.
What an amazing... People also... Yeah. Talking to people who have niggles, do you know what I mean? That niggles and they live with it and they don't want to make the trip all the way to the GP or they're afraid. You know, go in and speak to the nurse and listen, ladies, I have to move on. But it's been a really interesting journey to be on with you guys. Carmel Lynch, well done to you. And I know I can thank you on behalf of the community. And you too, Jackie. I'm still not sure which one of you is the good cop and which one of you is the bad cop. I have my suspicions. But I'll keep I'll take the fifth on that.
Greg, also, can we thank the Highland Radio team as well for coming out to the Fowler that evening for the meeting, and to Caroline and yourself for the support and the help you have given us since Jack was on your show in March, because Highland Radio does a lot, makes mixed noise for people like us, and we thank you as a community for doing that for us.
It's quite literally what we're here for. Carmel, Jackie, well done to you. Hopefully a little bit of respite for you too now, because it's been a tight campaign and an awful lot of work, and you are also doing regular life stuff around that as well. But listen, it's a testament to both of you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Greg.
All right,
thank you.
Carmel Lynch, Jackie O'Neill there. They're co-chairs at the Farn Health Centre, that inconspicuous little building that you might see on the side of the road on the way to Boncrana, but vital for that wider community. And please use it. Please use it. Okay. I kind of suspected this comment was coming in, and it's kind of an awkward one. It's a difficult one for me. Is this a party political broadcast for Sinn Féin just because Charlie McConnell doesn't talk to the show? Show some fairness. I normally have. And if anyone's listened to this show this week, I've played devil's advocate on behalf of Minister McConnell on a number of occasions. If a member of the public, though, says that they had no comeback from them when they made inquiries, I can't go, well, I'm sure he did. Do you know that sort of way? It's difficult. And I paused when that was being said. I have no interest in being pro any individual or party or being anti any individual or party. Every single show that I've done here for the last 4 years is available for anyone to watch back. They're all there on YouTube and on Facebook. You can watch back every single show. And at no point have I ever used this platform to be nasty or personal or political with anybody. Jackie, Carmel, the rest of the farm community, Inch Island, Burnfoot, those are the people, the normal people that we're just trying to get stuff done for. It's the same with the cancer flights. You know, I heard the remarks from Emerald Airlines 2 days ago. The issue's now been raised in the Dáil because it was platformed on this show. The issue's now been raised in the Dáil and the question has been put directly to Simon Harris. I don't care who does it. But what we want to do, for example, is to use this show and its influence, and it has a lot of influence, to try and improve the lives of people. We got on to the issue of the CDNT. Positions have been filled since that was highlighted on this programme. And we're going to return to that next week because it feels, I think some within the campaign feel that they're not being listened to anymore, that they've made some success, but there's still quite a bit to go to make sure our children have the best outcomes. That's going to be back on the show next week, not for political reasons, but because the children need early intervention for their best outcomes. The exact same in the Farn Health Centre. Older people in that area need to be able to access that service. That's why we backed that campaign and platformed it and helped push it. That's why we've been doing the work on the CDNT. And that is why I pushed so hard on the cancer flights, so that the 430 people can know those flights are going to be there into the future. And as I say, the next day after it was on this show, it has been raised directly with Simon Harris on the issue. That's what we try and do. I am not interested in enhancing or diminishing anyone's political careers or political aspirations or prospects or anything like that. That's not what we're doing. We're simply just trying to do something for the better. 3 days ago, we platformed the fact that there was no neurologist at Letterkenny University Hospital. Yesterday, there was a press release in relation to that, and we're going to get an update on that next. So all year, we've been highlighting the lack of neurological services at Letterkenny University Hospital. And only earlier this week, we were speaking to a local councillor who outlined his experience of trying to access neurological services, weren't available in Letterkenny, had to go to Sligo. Many people having to go to Sligo, massive round trips. You can work out the mileage yourself from North Inishowen and West Donegal, Donegal Town for that matter. Round trips to Sligo, people being caught up in beds as well because they were waiting to be transferred to Sligo for neurological services. So that's all been happening this year. We had that big story on it earlier in the week. And now this week we've confirmation that a neurologist is to be appointed to Letterkenny University Hospital. And one of the strongest voices on this issue has been Elaine Cole, who's of the Neurological Alliance of Ireland's campaign in Letterkenny. You will remember from previous conversations, Elaine has been living with MS for 17 years, and she has, as I say, been one of the strongest voices calling on the appointment of a consultant in Letterkenny and whatever supports they may need to do their job. Elaine, thank you for joining us. And it seems that your campaign has been a success. We had confirmation yesterday that a full-time consultant neurologist is to be appointed at Letterkenny University Hospital. How important is this news?
Oh, it is just unbelievable. It's great because I am overwhelmed about it for all the people that's on waiting lists. Like there's over 600 people waiting on a waiting list, see neurologists. and what's a neurologist appointed to Letterkenny, it's going to make a take the burden off Sligo, and MS patients in the Galway no longer have to travel to Dublin or if they're not on a waiting list for Galway or Dublin, they won't have to travel. But the people that has neurologists still has to travel. But I don't know really what to say.
Yeah,
I'm overwhelmed
this is good
about
news,
it.
Elaine, not only for us, but people
in
Sligo.
17 years,
Yeah, and this is and also there's a few things going on here. You're talking about the waiting list here. Depending on people's conditions, the earlier you see a neurologist, the better for outcomes.
Yeah, it is. And see now, it's great when you have a neurologist in Letterkenny. If you go into A&E, and you have symptoms of problems, you'll be seen there and then. You don't have to wait for 2 weeks. To see the neurologist from Sligo that comes down every 2 weeks and holding the bed. And even if you're an inpatient, there'll be a neurologist there and then to take over your care, even you're not under them.
Yeah, because up until now, I think the neurologist from Sligo visited every fortnight for a day and a half or 2.5 days per week from Sligo. So obviously that person was stretched, and that's not going to meet waiting lists. You're always going to see waiting lists grow from that, but also to the ongoing assessment and care of people, Elaine, that will be hopefully much improved. That will hopefully be much improved with the appointment of a full-time neurologist and their team in Letterkenny.
Yeah, and the nurse has been appointed. There's a neurology nurse been appointed, and she takes away kind of the burden too from the neurologist. She does all the phone calling, for treatments and stuff to get you up and going on your treatment.
Elaine, you travel for MS appointments in Dublin, I think Manor Hamilton and Galway. Will this positively affect you, or is your treatment plan as such that maybe this won't necessarily directly benefit you?
It won't benefit me because I attend Sligo, but sometimes I get an appointment in Letterkenny if they have something through there, but I still have to go to Dublin. And well, the Manor Hamilton one's gone because the pain team in Sligo's gone. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to go to Galway for that. But yeah, I'll probably still have to go to Sligo to see my neurologist.
Now, Elaine, the reason why I mentioned that, and I suspected that was the case, which makes it all the more impressive that you, dealing with your condition and everything else in life, that you've been such a powerful voice in trying to get this neurologist to Letterkenny when it won't necessarily even benefit you as much as it might others, or those perhaps with recent diagnoses or waiting a diagnosis. So I just want to say I think you're amazing, Elaine, and I think you've been really important in securing this service for the people of Letterkenny, and just now hopefully the appointment's made as soon as is possible.
Yeah, as soon as possible, yes. Not in the middle of next year. The start of next year would be very good because there's so many people on a waiting list, and it's really important to, get them seen. But 600 people on a waiting list, one neurologist wouldn't really be fit to take all that.
Yeah, I know.
You really would need two or three, but one would... We're okay with the one at the minute. We'll push on next year for another one.
All right, Elaine. Fair play to you. Listen, thanks for using our platform as well to help push it along.
Yeah.
Fair play to you. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you very much. Thanks to Highland Radio.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Elaine Cole there, Neurological Alliance of Ireland's campaigner in Letterkenny. Again, success. And also, I must say, it was Minister Charlie McConnellogue who announced that, and in the press release, I believe, he has said that he's been working on that and liaising with the Minister for Health in securing that. So in the interests of balance, which, believe it or not, we always do try and strike, Minister Charlie McConnellogue has been using his office to push for that. So there you go. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Piers. Thanks for your time.
Good morning to you, Greg.
Interested to speak to you as you have raised the issue of cancer flights out of Donegal. There's a lot of anxiety out there now. I hope we haven't added to it in highlighting this, but let's just listen to what Conor McCarthy had to say, actually, in relation to this. He's one of the top dogs at Emerald Airlines.
Our main concern here is the Dublin Airport cap, which is
been put into effect essentially is telling us that we have to reduce our passenger numbers next year because they're about 5% over the allowed maximum at the moment. That number is under review and submissions have been made, but in the meantime, we're quite concerned that the PSO route to Donegal is being included in that number, which essentially means we have to look on that as another commercial route. And there's it would obviously impact on our services to Donegal if we were to take action in that way.
Yeah, so there you have it. We are the low-hanging fruit, potentially, from an Emerald Airlines perspective. And as I say, I hope maybe he's not aware of the importance of this flight from a medical perspective, because we wouldn't want politics being played with it. You've raised the issue. I heard that was on the news a couple of weeks ago, and I heard it reiterated on RT at the start of the week, and I was like, this is crazy here. This is more than just flights for us. You've called on the Taoiseach Micheál Martin on this issue. What have you said to him?
Yeah, thanks, Greg, and fair play to yourselves for raising this and also probably explaining to people as well, you know, the importance of this this flight with what is happening with the local charity and Mary Coyle on your show there. And, you know, maybe if there's a good that comes out of this here, maybe informs people as well that's out there that are cancer patients, that there is a service here that can help them. And I know so many people in my own community that, you know, that this is literally a lifeline for them, being able to make that round trip on the plane instead of doing that, kind of, what, 8 to 9 hour round trip on the car, and in some cases quite sick doing that. So hopefully there is a bit of a silver lining. I raised this with the Taoiseach yesterday. As you know, I take leaders' questions on a Thursday, and I use that opportunity to raise the issue of the flights, both the importance in terms of commercial tourism, but also for business, but also most importantly for the cancer patients. He wasn't aware of it, in fairness to him, and he didn't fully understand how the passenger cap could impact on the regional flight. So that was explained. He did agree with me that this was madness. He made the point that this can be sorted, which is what I asked him to do. I asked him to ensure that the PSO, and it's not as if that there's lots of PSOs in the country, there's only one PSO, which is public service obligation. So a public, you know, we have PSOs in different things. We have PSOs in buses, but there is only one air route that has a PSO.
So do you believe that it is a government decision to exclude PSOs from this? Or I still actually don't fully understand how that might actually work to save these flights, because it would mean Emerald couldn't consider it, because the amount of people flying on this flight versus the millions we're talking about caps, I don't understand how this comes into play only if Emerald wants to use this in play.
Yeah, well, look, what's happening at the minute, which is a wider issue and really a symptom of a government that's failure to plan here, is that we have a passenger cap at Dublin Airport. A certain amount of flights or passengers can come into the airport in any given year. This would have been supposed to be increased if the infrastructure wasn't put in place, but the infrastructure hasn't been put in place. The likes of the metro hasn't been built and all that after decades. So we're in this position. And now what the Irish Aviation Authority is doing is they're instructing routes to reduce their numbers. And because our flights land in Dublin Airport, it is included. But as I said, we are the only flight in the country that lands in Dublin Airport from anywhere that is a public service obligation. That means that it is recognised by Ireland and by the European Union that there is a public service to this, that this is important. And why are we the only region? Because loads of regions had a public service.
Yeah, we don't have access. But sorry to rush you because of time. So you are of the firm belief that this is up to Micheál Martin, who didn't know about this and may well take this on board, and we hope he will, to exclude this PSO from this conversation? Or is there any onus on Emerald, or can Emerald say, look, we perhaps didn't realise the importance of this for many reasons, but not least health, and we won't consider this in our commercial review if the cap remains?
I'm sure Emerald may have some flexibility in relation to their overall passenger numbers, but I am concerned because, look, at the end of the day, Emerald is a for-profit operator. Like, they're not the state operator. They obviously get subsidised in relation to this flight, and it's good to see that the number of passengers has increased, and that's going well. But crucially, look, there should be no risk, no risk whatsoever. There should be no concern in relation to this. This is a public service obligation. We're talking about 23 million flights coming in. The people who are travelling up and down to Dublin should be excluded from this. That's what I've asked Eamon Ryan as minister to do. That's what I raised with the Taoiseach yesterday. The Taoiseach said he's going to bring it up with the minister. He believes it can be sorted. I'm making the point it must be sorted. I'm confident if the government intervenes with the Irish Aviation Authority that because of the unique status of this flight, that it absolutely can be carved out from implications. The wider issue is we need to deal with the passenger cap in a bigger way.
Exactly. Unfortunately, we don't have to deal with that time to deal with that now. I do appreciate what you're saying. And of course, the airports are very important to us beyond this vital service, but we're just focused on that at the moment to try and get some assurance for passengers. Thank you very much for your time. That's Deputy Pierce Doherty there.